Got a very lovely audience and atmosphere today. What's more beautiful and brings it to life than the sound of a child? If I feel asleep, you can't fall asleep. I may make you fall asleep. I can put you to sleep as well with my sermon. But a child will wake you from that. So thank you for helping me, boys and girls, there today. I was thinking, what can I share today that will be meaningful for Jamie, and especially for us? By the way, welcome to the team, Bethany Christian Trust. Just want to acknowledge your great job that you're doing for Dumfries, for people that don't have a place, for people that don't have a hope, for people who don't have something to eat, a shelter. And Jamie here is the witness and is the product of your care and love for him. So may God bless you today for that. It's Pam, it's Phil that we know very well, and Stuart that I met with him, and I just suppose it's Craig. Craig. Very welcome to have you with us today here. Now, some of you are for the first time in this place, or maybe for the first time in a church, and you think, wow, it's odd. Just because of Jamie, I had to come in here, and you may be curious, and you just don't know what to expect. And you've heard of Christians, and at least you know that this place is a Christian place. And the question that raises in our hands and our heads is this: what is a Christian after all? And the answers that we usually give, it's a Christian is one who lives by do's and don'ts. You should do this and you shouldn't do that. And you know that Christians do's and don'ts, things like they do read the Bible, they do say some prayers, they do spend the Sundays in church, and they place emphasis on chastity, and they don't do some of the things like, you know, things out there that normally are not counted Christian. And that's the common answer when we describe a Christian. And if we look at Christians, somebody that they don't know to enjoy their lives. And this is what Paul said. Yes, as Christians, we are regarded as imposters. We are regarded as unknown. We are regarded as dying, yet we live. Beaten, yet not killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. And he goes even more and says, we are regarded as fools for Christ. We are regarded as weak. We are regarded as dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. I think this is very clearly pretty close to what a Christian is regarded by society nowadays. Something that you're not quite sure where you stand with them. Something that are a bit query. Weird people. Actually, I want to tell you that it's more than meets the eye. A Christian is all these things: one who's beaten, one who's thirsty, one who is dishonored, one who's mistreated. But beyond all this, I like this definition of a Christian, and I want you to take only this with you when you leave this place. A Christian is an overcomer. A Christian is an overcomer, because a Christian has to overcome all the adversities that are coming in our throat against him. And we live in a society, unfortunately, in which Christianity is downplayed. Even in movies, even somebody appears to be a Christian, they appear only to be made fun of and to show that they are close-minded people. But we are to overcome even that one. Listening to Jesus, that's what he said. I tell you the truth, in this world you will have troubles, tribulations, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Jesus is an overcomer. He's overcome the world at Calvary on the cross. It's not time to go there, but Jesus has lots of promises in Revelation, and he says to seven different churches, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, I will give them the right. I will give them the throne. I will give them the reward to him who overcomes. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, Christians are like sheep taken to the slaughter. Yet, through all these things, and it was great persecution during that time, during the Roman times, because they will not worship the idols, the pagan idols of the Romans. But through all this, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. And that one is Jesus Christ. Paul also says that a Christian is one who fights the good fight of faith. And I want to tell you today, there are many things that we fight for. And there are many fights that we want to take, but not all of them are good. The only good fight is the fight of faith. There are fights like that they are not worth to fight for. There are political fights. There are relational fights when we don't agree with one another. There are ambition fights. And there are money fights. People fight for money, for power. And Bible says they are not worth it because you're not sure if you're overcome. You're sooner or later overcome by them. I tell you what, it's a good fight. A good fight, it's a fight against things that are robbing you. A good fight, it's against things that are robbing you of your health, of your joy, and of your future. And we have here, in the person of Jamie, a person who's been robbed of his joy, who's been robbed of his health. And he's decided, it's time to make up my mind, and I want to fight a good fight. I will fight for my health. I will fight for my joy. I will fight for my dignity. And he's had a team here from Bethany Christian Trust to help him into that. And they are Christians too. And we are Christians here in Bethany Church as well. And we are here as Christians to help people fight the good fight, to regain their lives. When you look on his arms, you will see later on, you will see the scars of cuts. And I told Jamie, when you look at those, you should remember that somebody literally with his clothes, his name is Satan, the destroyer of lives, he tried to keep you down, keep you down under. But Jesus Christ has taken you there and you have survived. You've overcome the worst in your life. Jamie is here to testify today through this step in the water that he's an overcomer, that Jesus has overcome for him too. We have the story of the prodigal son. Maybe you've heard of him. He lived a luxurious life in his father's house. But one day he said, I want to enjoy life independent of my father. I don't want to be told what to do and not to do. He didn't know that the father's house and the rules of the house of his father are there in place to protect him from robbers, are there to protect him from harm, from killers. And he said, I want out of the safety of my house. And he went, says, in a faraway country. And was so far away that he spent all his money on fun, on entertainment. And he said that he was left with nothing. And he said that he had to go and look after the pigs. And for the Jew person, it was very, very low to look after a pig because they don't even eat pigs meat. But not just that, he didn't have food. He was so low that he had to eat from the food of the pigs. And as he was doing all this stuff for a day, a week, or two, or months, or years, eventually says he came to his senses. And I said, I've been overcome by all this. I thought I'm choosing the right thing in my life. And said he came to his senses. And he said, in my father's house, there is plenty of food. And even the servants, they enjoy a better life than me. I will go back and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. Accept me as a servant. And he said he came back after he came back to his senses, and he came and the father was waiting for him already on the street, on the porch of the house. and said, the father ran to him. And that's a good illustration to understand dignitaries, people in high rank in Jewish society, they don't run. Other people, they run to them, but they will not run to the people, especially somebody as a beggar in rags. And he ran towards his son, and son came towards him sheepishly, fearfully, and said, father, I have, and he didn't manage to say much more than I have seen. He did against you or against heaven, because he already suffocated his mouth with his chest, with his arms, grabbing him and enwrapping him in the love of his arms. And he said, bring him the robe, because he's a royalty. Bring him the sandals, because only the special people were wearing sandals. Otherwise, were barefooted in that part of the world. Bring him the ring to say that he belongs to my family, and bring the fattened calf, the best one, and let's have a party for him. For my son was dead, and now he's alive. My son who was lost now has been found. And the Bible says there is greater rejoicing in heaven for one single person who overcomes his condition of being robbed of health and joy and sin than for all of us here in this church who are already Christians. The angels are worshiping. The angels are worshiping God, and the angels are throwing a party in heaven. And we are here to rejoice together with them. And don't tell me there are no angels. Don't tell me there is no spiritual world, the spiritual dimension, because Jimmy will tell you what the hell he's been through. Plates falling in his house. Wi-Fi going off without being plugged. And he had to fight against this. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, he has known deliverance over that. As sure as there is demons, as sure as there is angels. And as sure as there is angels and demons, as sure there is a God. And the Bible says, be reconciled today with God and repent before him. An overcomer is one who comes out from down under. An overcomer is one who's been under something, but he comes and crawls back, and it's over it. Over everything that has tried to keep him down there. And I want you to think, what are the things that are keeping you down there? What are the things that you need to overcome in your life? What are the things that you keep feeling defeated day after day? You want to come out, but you cannot. What is robbing your energy? What is robbing your passion? What is robbing your potential? What is robbing your joy for living? The overcoming cannot be done in your own strength. You know, I'm sorry to say, but this is the truth. Paul Gascoigne, we all heard of him. His battle with the addiction of alcohol. Poor guy, he's came up and he's went back again. He's came up, he's went back again. We have stories like Hollywood stars, pop stars, Demi Lovato. She was up, she was down, she came up, went down again. And you know, the problem is we have a yo-yo kind of life. And we say this with all fear. We say this with all compassion. This kind of overcoming cannot be done on your own. That's why people don't manage to stay afloat. Because they try to fight on their own demons. The only one who fought and conquered the power of darkness, of hell and demons is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was down under in the lowest parts of the earth. If you think hell is low, Jesus went there even lower. To make sure that there is no one, as somebody said, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not greater, deeper still. And Jesus went right there, and for 3 days, he was there in the belly of the earth to make sure that he was down under, to make sure that in 3 days he reaches after every deepest sinner, after every deepest defeated person in the whole world. And after 3 days, you know what happened? It says in the Bible that the dead was impossible to keep its shackles on him. It was impossible. And Jesus came out as the overcomer of death and hell. And from then on, you know what? Death, Satan, and hell, they reckon. They know that the name of Jesus was lifted up as the highest name above every other name. That every knee on earth, on heaven, and under the earth will bow down and confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's why when we proclaim the name of Jesus, things come to a calm. In that story that John told you earlier on, the storm was raging. But Jesus with his word said, peace, be still. And the storm cooled down. That's why in order to be an overcomer, you need the overcomer of all overcomers in you. You need Jesus, the resurrection and the life, the defeater of death and hell, to come and live inside you. From now on, Jamie is not on his own anymore. He doesn't need to do like Paul Gascoigne to pay 20,000 pounds of putting some pellets in his stomach so that it will make him sick when he will drink more than one glass of wine. Because he has the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we invite you, come to the power of the Holy Spirit. From now on, Jimmy has a heavenly Father, God the Father, who's his Father, and embrace him and call him his son. He has an older brother, Jesus Christ, and has a comforter that is the Holy Spirit over his life. A Christian is an overcomer because he has a new life inside of him. Those of you who are mothers, you know that the moment you got something moving inside your body, it's a new life there. And you know what? You were very excited about that life. But the time came when you parted with your life. The time came when that wee bundle of life got out of your tomb and you separated and the child started to be on his own. And you don't know, that life is going to bring me joy. That life is going to bring me sadness. But with Jesus is the same. A Christian is one who has eternal life inside of him. Because Jesus Christ comes inside of him. Holy Spirit comes inside of him. And that life is there never to leave that person again. That life grows from one day to another. And here at the church, we try to encourage you how to discover and to know more of that life that is inside you. That's why Paul said, we have this treasure in jars of clay, that means our body, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, yet not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is a work in us, but life is a work in you. So see, this is the language of an overcomer. The Christians will not live without poverty. The Christians will not live without illness. The Christians will not live without bad report about them. The Christians will not live without persecution, but they are overcomers. Whatever may come against you may, but Jesus' life inside you will defeat everything that Satan throws at you. Jesus doesn't provide you a red carpet to walk in the life, have all the riches, have all the enjoyment, all the entertainment of life and not knowing pain. No, the Christians are the people in the world that will know pain more than anybody else maybe, but Paul says, what is inside you sticks with you. And this life cannot be conquered, even when death will come. And you're about to be so weak that you're about to die. That death cannot keep you close in the tomb, because your soul will rise up to heaven in the presence of God. A Christian gets up when he's fallen. Like Peter, he's fallen. But the Bible says the righteous falls 7 times, but gets up again. Bounces back. You know, have you seen the Rocky movies? And what he said is not about how many times you're falling. It's about how much can you take it. And I'm telling you, if you're not a Christian, you can't take much because you're knocked down right away. You're knocked out right away. But when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can get punch after punch and you look as defeated. You may look as a conquered person. Bah! The new life comes out on you, comes out from the ashes. And when they say, we've done them, you're coming back again. Because we have the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And Jesus said, people may write you out, but my blood was there to provide cleansing for everybody who repents. And whoever comes on the terms of the blood of Jesus and says, receive me and accept me on the basis of the blood of Jesus, is washed clean away and is freshened again. Go when you feel tired. Go when you feel very low and have a shower and you feel refreshed. The blood of Jesus provides this shower of refreshing for us, but we have to humble ourselves, to strip of our clothes, and to get under the shower of Jesus. Please forgive me. I repent. I'm not coming anymore in my own strength, with my own merits. I repent before you. And that's what James done, and he repented before you. David fell, but he bounced back. Paul fell, he bounced back. And I'm telling you something. There are many people who can offend me, and I fall out with them. But if somebody in my own family, if my child offends me, I will never get rid of him. I will never fall out with him, because it's my flesh of my flesh and blood of my blood. My name is on his birth certificate. My DNA is in his blood. We are one by blood. And Jesus said, I given my blood for them. I became a man like them. So they will become one with me. And Jesus never writes off anybody who gives their lives to him in repentance. Third, an overcomer gets over obstacles. He doesn't look for excuses, and he will never compromise. Where are the men and women of integrity today? Anybody and everybody is for sale. We are living in a pleasure-obsessed society. If you like it and I like it, we will do it. No thought about consequences, just short-sightedness. We don't think about the impact it has on our future, on our families, upon our jobs. Who satisfies my pleasure best now has me, body and soul. If somebody else, something else is more tempting, I'll just go over there and I'll have it. But a Christian is one who draws the line and remains unmoved. There is no compromise. The story is in the Bible of three friends in Babylonian captivity. And the big image was erected and everybody were to bow down, but they will not bow down, even with the price to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They were lured. They were given chance again to bow down, but they stood their ground. And I told Jamie, tell from the very beginning, this is who I am now. I'm Jamie, overcomer. I'm a new person. I'm a child of God. I'm a prince. And draw the line and live up to the name you have. And then lastly, a Christian is one who goes against the flow. He has determination. John, the apostle, remember before he has some problems. He called the fire to come down to avenge the people that were against Jesus. And Jesus said, I will not do that because I came to bring love, no condemnation. And John, after that, he was changed and he conquered his temperamental spirit. Peter had to conquer his fear of men because he denied Jesus in front of a girl, in front of the people, said, oh, I know that you were with Jesus, and he was beside a fire. And then he conquered his fear and he died for Jesus. Paul conquered his prideful attitude. He said, I am a Jew, I am of a famous pedigree. But he had to humble himself when Jesus came and appeared before him. Thomas had to overcome his doubts. He said, I will not believe that this is Jesus until I will see the wounds on his side. And then he followed Jesus and he died for Jesus as well. Mary had to overcome her fear of prejudice when she came and she broke the vase of alabaster and wasted all she could to Jesus' feet. They all called her a sinner, but Jesus accepted her. And after that, men after men and women after women overcome their fears, addictions, their demons, and have joined a great cloud of witnesses, says the Bible, that have gone before us. The Bible calls them they that the world was not worthy of them. And the world is not worthy of Jamie. And the world is not worthy of you if you say, I want to live for Jesus and I want to seriously, 100% belong to Jesus. Because there is one more thing. Overcomer gets his reward. An overcomer is not welcome in this world. Because our very sheer presence makes people feel uncomfortable. When you cherish chastity, you will make people feel uncomfortable if they don't cherish chastity. When you cherish honesty, you will make people who like to cheat feel uncomfortable against you. When you cherish to be honest and not to lie and not to compromise, you'll make everybody else feel uncomfortable that they like to compromise. And that's why the Bible says that we are like pilgrims in this world. This world is not our home. But you know what? The good news is that the overcomer will not remain down under here on this earth. The overcomer is not made for this world. The overcomer is made for the world to come. Paul said, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who long for his appearing." Are you longing for Jesus' appearing? Paul was to the point when he was surrounded by so many enemies. And he was arrested, he was bound, and he was imprisoned. And he couldn't escape from there. And you may think, what a defeated, what a loser. But you know, he had the power of life in the jar of clay, the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. Now I entrust you, Timothy, carry on." And from Timothy, it went on to the Polycarp, and to Polycarp, to the early fathers, and from the early fathers, throughout to the generation, he came to me, he came to you, and now he comes out to Jamie and said, "We fought the good fight, and we are still fighting the good fight. Now it's time you fight alongside. You're a soldier, brother, in the army for Jesus. Don't forget that. And you'll be more than conqueror. And one day, the crown of righteousness will be given to you." Jesus said, "To the one who's victorious, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne." You're going to reign, Jamie. We are all going to reign if we stand in the line and don't want to be cowards, to run away from the good fight. And I close with this. The year is 300s. Anno Dominis. It was during the reign of Licinius of Rome, the emperor. And Christian persecution was very heavily in that time. And 40 Roman soldiers, they given their life to Jesus and said, we have become Christians. We want to belong to Jesus. They weren't allowed in the freedom of their conscience to believe in Jesus. I'm a bit worried right now. Imagine if we do like that for a child, what God is doing when he sees that we get in danger. What is the danger that is coming around you? Don't let yourself to fall into the pit. So 40 Roman soldiers, they decided to become Christians, and they weren't happy, the Romans, to allow them to be Christians. And they said, "We want to ask you to denounce your faith, to renounce your Christ." And they took them on a frozen lake. And on that frozen lake, they unstripped them of their clothes and they prepared the fire to the side and said, "Here is the fire. If any of you renounces Jesus Christ and want to have heat to the fire, just come here and have heat and warm up yourself." And 1 hour went, 2 hours went, and a few hours went. And after a while, one of the 40 Christians gave up and he went to the fire. And as the Roman guards were there to see what's happening, one of them saw crowns coming from heaven on each 40 Christians. But you know what? One angel was without a crown, without a head, because the 40th head was not there. And the crown could not be placed on that head. And when this Roman soldier saw this, he unstripped himself of his clothes, and from the pagan soldiers, he ran right away and joined the crowd with the 40 Christians. And the crown came on his head. And he said, "I cannot allow the number to decrease." And he went there and he died with the other 39 Christians. The time will come, maybe even in this own country. I'm coming from Romania, where people had to pay with their jobs, had to pay with their houses and their families for believing in Jesus. And maybe the time will come here as well when you have to pay a price if you say that you belong to Jesus. The question is, what will you choose for that day? I know what I made up my mind to. And I know many in this place made their mind up about this, to belong and to follow Jesus. And I believe Jamie too. And now we leave this message with you. We don't force anybody into becoming a Christian. We don't force with a gun. We don't force with the laws. We don't force with the threats. Billy Graham's son was stopped to come in this land to bring the message of love and gospel to all the sinners. The same thing his father has done for 8 years. And he was welcomed by the Queen. He was welcomed by the Prime Minister of this country. He was welcomed by the dignitaries. Stadiums opened before him. Schools opened before him. And now his own son, with the same message of the gospel, of the love of Jesus, love the Lord Jesus because he loved you so much, he gave his life for you, is not allowed to come in a free, we call, country. And maybe you're intimidated. I should not become a Christian in this kind of UK, Britain. But I'm encouraging you, maybe this is the right time. Be a soldier that leaves the wrong side, the wrong army, and come into the right army. And you will be given a new life in you. You will be given a new power. And you will be given a crown when the time comes. You will not be defeated. You will not go down under into the pit of hell, but you will go right into the throne of God in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, I leave this message and the decision rests with them. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will move people's hearts in this place and let this be a new beginning, that people will start to see who you really are, that you came to love what was lost and to give your life as a ransom for many. In Jesus' name, amen.